And now, The Low Post.
Welcome to The Low Post Podcast on the last day of the regular season. Joining me in studio to talk about, I don't know what we would possibly talk about.
Magic.
Heat, ESPN Insider, East Coast Vagabond, Tim Bontemps. How are you?
I'm good, man. That's an accurate description.
Why aren't you Tim Bontemps?
Because my family is from France, but I didn't grow up in France. That's why.
Wasn't that the talent in True Blood?
Yes. The number of times that my name has been turned into a French word is an extremely high number.
Before we start.
Yeah.
Very important question.
Okay.
Did you pick out the shirt you are wearing?
The Anthony Davis thing. I literally just saw that quote that he didn't pick out his shirt. I didn't know he wore this shirt until about an hour and a half ago when I was on the plane to New York.
Just to be clear, you are, as an adult man,
picked out I am picking clothes. Out my own clothes, yes.
So I was on Get Up this morning, and
I was watching on the plane.
I said to Laura Rutledge during a commercial break, because we were talking about how stupid the shirt is.
Right.
And how all you have to do is not wear a shirt that is a middle finger to the fans. That's it. That's all you have to do.
That's a very low bar.
That.
Right.
Like almost literally any other shirt.
Just don't take a crap on your face.
And I said to Laura Rutledge, and I tweeted obliquely about it. I said, I'll bet you a stylist picked it out. Or he's going to say that a stylist picked it out.
There you go.
And she said, really? And I was like, look, I don't live in that world where people pick out my clothes, but these people have armies of other people whose job it is.
That's very
true. And then sure enough, bam, Anthony Davis can't pick out a t-shirt.
That's the world we live in, my man.
I picked out the clothes I'm wearing now. And let me tell you, you can tell I picked them out.
No comment. The NBA, buddy. This is where we're at. Just the most absurd day ever yesterday.
Here's what happened last night.
You want me to start
two
a timer?
Two of the 20 greatest players of all time had their farewell games.
Yep.
One of them fell off the scorer's table trying to jump on it.
I thought Dwayne Wade might have actually broke his leg. There was genuine concern in the arena last night.
Detroit came back from 20 down against the Grizzlies team that has just picked names out of a hat and made a basketball team out of it.
Also a big thing in Miami last night, because that impacted the Heat. There was a lot of noise on press row as that game was turning around.
Had Detroit lost that game, tonight would have been incredibly suspenseful.
Right?
It still is sort of suspenseful, but all Detroit has to do is beat the Knicks.
Then again, they almost lost to the Grizzlies, who are probably trying even less than the Knicks, so who knows?
I think the Knicks are like 4-400 in their last 404 games. That's what it feels like.
That seems accurate.
If Detroit can't beat the Knicks to clinch a playoff spot, they should lose a second-round pick. You should be docked a second-round pick. Adam Silver should have that love of the game clause.
I'd go stronger. I think they shouldn't be allowed to be in the lottery. They have to have the 14th pick. Can't even be allowed. You have to beat the Knicks.
Does Dwayne Casey still have the Rock in his office, the big pal in the Rock? If he still has that in his office, you have to break that into pieces and smash it if you can't beat the Knicks.
All fair.
Subplot to that,
right?
Steve Clifford has a chance to exact revenge on the Hornets.
Yep.
By digging their playoff grave and shoving them in it.
Right. Making sure they can't make the playoffs
now,
if they lose. To be clear, if the Hornets win and the Pistons lose, the Hornets make the playoffs.
Right.
Just so people know.
So that's what I'm saying. Like the Detroit win last night took the suspense out of that, because all Detroit has to do is beat the Kazoos, who are no longer starting Mario Hezonja, point guard, I guess. That experiment went too well, so they have to go down to the next thing. Noah Vonleh maybe will start a point guard tonight.
They're also arguably not the biggest joke in the league anymore, too.
Well, that brings us to the Los Angeles Lakers. I am putting 10 minutes on the clock because you know what? I am fucking sick, and I'm going to curse on my own
podcast. Wow, Zach Lowe cursing.
I am so sick of the Lakers, who by virtue of being incompetent,
yep,
continue to make themselves the biggest storyline in sports.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have so many things to say. I mean, the thing about this is, like, people are going to focus on this stuff yesterday, right, with Magic, with this absurd press conference. But this isn't about yesterday. This is about missing the playoffs. This isn't about the last 2 years. This is about the past 6 years for the Lakers, right? Like, this is the Lakers. They're supposed to be one of the flagship franchises in the NBA. And ever since they gave Kobe Bryant five and a half years ago, one of the most absurd extensions in the history of the league, this 2-year, $50 million extension, when his, you know, his Achilles was blown out. You had no idea what he's going to look like. Sunk their cap the next 2 years. From that point forward, everything the Lakers have done has been a clown show. They had such a bad meeting with LaMarcus Aldridge, they had to have a second one. They can't get a meeting with Kevin Durant. They don't really get any interest in LeBron James the first time. They go out in 2016 after they can't get Durant or even Al Horford to meet with them. They sign Timofey Mozgov and Luol Deng to just absurd contracts, first day of free agency, completely screw up their cap for years. They get the top, they get the second pick in a row, 3 years in a row, and the pick is top three protected. Unbelievable luck. They can't draft a star with that, right? Then after all this, they, in the middle of 2 years ago, Jeannie Buss fires her brother, fires Mitch Kupchak, right? It's like, oh, okay. Lakers have a chance to reset, right? Reset, have a real team. What do? They hire Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka in the same day to run the team. Don't do any kind of search. Don't do any kind of looking around to see who they can get. Go try to get Masai Ujiri or R.C. Buford or Bob Myers or somebody to run this team. And then you look at what's happened the last year. I got destroyed last fall for saying that the Lakers are going to miss the playoffs when all I did was look at the way this team was built and say, I don't know, I've watched LeBron James play the past, I don't know what, 8 or 9 years, 10 years, 15 years. What is the formula for this team to be good, for a team, LeBron James' team to be good? To have people around him who could shoot the ball and play defense. The Lakers signed people who can't play defense and can't shoot and who need the ball, so LeBron has it less. It was just the most absurd offseason, maybe in the history of the league. And then you go through this whole season. You have the debacle with Anthony Davis. You have Magic Johnson telling his players to toughen up. And, oh, yeah, this is just part of life. You're going to get traded, which is absurd. You have all the tampering stuff, which I didn't even get into. And then last night, you have this unbelievable press conference. I'm at this Dwayne Wade game in Miami, right? You mentioned it. Dwayne Wade, Dirk, both have 30-point games last night. Final games at home. Really cool ceremonies both places. Really neat stuff, right? I watched the Dirk one on TV. I was at the Dwayne Wade one. Magic Johnson overshadows both of them with this unbelievably asinine press conference where he's saying things like, now I can go tweet again. Like, what world are we in that this is happening? It's unbelievable.
It was all perfect. And the thing that made it perfect, really perfect, was that he hadn't told Jeannie Buss. Because I said it on this podcast last week with Chris Herring. Cue it up if you want, people. The atmosphere within the Lakers is poisonous.
Yep.
It's toxic. Nobody trusts each other. Nobody talks to each other. And for me, as a basketball person, I don't really care about the internecine rivalries
right.
and who hates who and who hates who.
Right.
I care about when it is time to make a big basketball decision, they can't gather people who trust each other in a room.
They're incompetent.
And have a functional decision-making process. The decision-making process is siloed. It's
right.
isolated. People don't talk to each other. And that is a recipe to fail as a franchise.
Yeah.
And their president of basketball operations resigned without telling anyone, which
right.
is a perfect representation of all of that. Now, I will say this. This is a blessing in disguise for the Lakers. It's an opportunity for the Lakers
to potential blessing in disguise.
It's an opportunity for
right.
the Lakers to clean all of that up.
Right.
It's an opportunity to fix the and they don't have to fire everybody. They have smart people in that organization.
Right.
Lots of them.
Right.
They have to empower them. They have to put them in the room where the decisions are made. They have to have a top down, or not even top down. They just have to have a process where every arm of the organization talks to each other. Every arm of the basketball decision-making process talks to each other in a functional way.
Right.
They need someone who is able to do that.
Right.
And what they really need to do is so this person needs to check three boxes for me. Number one, it cannot be a Laker person.
No question.
Because the last time they did this, and this lays at the feet of Jeannie Buss. I'm sorry. If she has a fatal flaw, it's that she is seduced by the lore of her own franchise, which when you live in it and grow up in it, I can understand. When you fire Mitch Kupchak and you fire your brother and your first impulse is hire the greatest living Laker, arguably, and Kobe Bryant's agent.
Right.
You have not done a good job.
That was insane. I got to go back to that again. I said it before. They fired them in February, right? You had 2 months, in theory, to find the best candidate you could find. It's the right move, right? Everybody was saying they needed a clean house. They clean house. To your point, she doesn't even do a search. She just hires people that she knows immediately without looking around.
Now, I think Genie is good.
I gotta say, the track record doesn't say she's good.
The track record is discouraging, but she's very respected around the league in all matters of business and all this stuff, and I believe that's all true.
I mean, they make a ton of money, but also so do the Knicks.
But she has a blind spot. And the blind spot is what she grew up with in the Lakers history, and that needs to be overcome now. It's the same reason the first time I talked to her, it was like 2013 or 14 in her office, it was preseason. I said, hey, I think the season's gonna go. And she said, as long as Kobe's here, I think we can contend.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
Right. That is the problem with the Lakers. You just said it, right? The Lakers are so caught up in the hubris. The hubris that organization has is unbelievable. That they think that just because they've won all these championships, they made all these finals, that things are supposed to happen. Like, Magic was angry that the Pelicans just didn't trade him Anthony Davis, right? Because they're the Lakers and they're supposed to get Anthony Davis. Like, that's just what's supposed to happen. Right? They got Magic, they got Kareem, they had Jerry West, they had Wilt Chamberlain, they had Kobe Bryant, they had Shaq. They're just supposed to get Anthony Davis. No, you're not supposed to just get Anthony Davis. And to your point, Brian Winters has said this a couple times today, and I think it's 100% true. The Lakers have been run like a family business, because it is a family business.
Yeah, it's a family business.
And it can't be run like a family business. It needs to be run like a multi-billion dollar corporation, which is what it is. I mean, the Lakers are worth, what, $5 billion, right? Like, this team needs to be run like a 21st century operation. And to your point, the biggest thing they could do to change that is to go out and hire a competent, proven executive, whether it's, go get a Masai Ujiri, a Tim Connolly, a Dennis Lindsay, a R.C. Buford, Bob Meyer, somebody like that. Go hire David Griffin, who's not anywhere, knows LeBron, knows Luke Walton, right? Go get somebody that has run a team, knows how to run a team, and can come in and, to your point, empower the smart people that they have and just overhaul that entire organization and bring it into the 21st century. Because the bottom line is, the Lakers are stuck in the 80s and the 70s and the 90s and the 2000s, and they are not in this decade at all. And the organization is a joke around the league.
I'm not even going to go that far, because
I'm saying today, the way this year has played out, the way yesterday played out, I mean, they're the laughingstock of the league today.
Today, yes.
That's what I meant. Today they are.
I don't even think it's necessary to clown the Lakers. I'm not here to clown the Lakers.
I'm not trying to either, but it's unbelievable the situation that they're in.
To me, they have, through accidents and bad decisions, ended up in a place where they are unable to make functional basketball decisions because the level of trust and discourse isn't there. And the drama of that, the silliness of that, it's all fun. It's all interesting. It's all good Twitter fodder and all this. All I care about is, do you have a good decision-making apparatus? And they do not.
Right.
And and where you see that come through, you see it come through in every possible way, but just leading up, where everyone's talking about Luke Walton. What happens to Luke Walton? And you talked about the disastrous signings that they made in the summer that everyone knew were disastrous the second they happened, except for them.
Right.
What you have seen in the last month, if you read the media coverage carefully, is every arm of the organization anonymously trying to blame 100%. Every other arm of the organization.
Circular firing squad.
For those signings. So first it was Magic's idea. Then it was like maybe kind of LeBron's co-idea, and Magic was like, yeah, I sign off on that too.
Right.
Then it was like maybe Luke Walton's idea.
Right.
No, then Luke Walton pushed back on that. When you see that happening, it's not just evidence of discord. It's evidence of a broader cultural toxicity that needs to be vaporized. So step number one, outside the organization, outside Lakers history. Step number two obviously has to be good. Now, step number three, I think not enough people or checkbox number three, has to be able to sit across from the top 10 players in the world in a free agency meeting and win them over. And to me, that eliminates some or all of the number two guys in the league, even if they have the GM title. Like, I think one of the smartest things they could do is reach across the hallway and get Michael Winger from the Clippers. Michael Winger is one of the best in the whole league. I just don't think Michael Winger is ready to sit in front of Kawhi Leonard or Kevin Durant as the number one guy and say, come here. Now,
I don't even know if that – they just need to be competent. Man.
No, you. Because
they have every advantage.
That's the baseline.
No, I know, but I'm saying they have every advantage, right? They have every advantage, and over the past 5 or 6 years, they've neutered every one of those advantages. When they have every possible advantage, they have all the money, they've had draft picks, they have location, they have everything, and they've messed them all up. So to your point, I agree. Like, look, if you could get Masai Ujiri, say, right? Masai checks every box. But Michael Winger is a competent, incredibly competent, bright guy who's leading an organization. By the way, they should look across the hall and see what the Clippers have done.
Yeah.
The Clippers have a competent team. Yesterday they claimed Rodney Magruder. He can't play in the playoffs. He would have been a perfect guy for the Lakers to get.
If I had a team, I would hire Michael Winger or somebody like that in a second. I do think one of the things that Magic said yesterday that's interesting is free agency is still the path for us. And I think he's correct about that. And I think if that's the case, that's where the Griff, and I agree, Masai Ujiri is a name that will come up. I think Bob Myers is a name that will come up.
Sure.
And I've heard it speculated for years that if there's one job that could get Bob Myers out of Golden State,
sure,
it's the Lakers.
It's a great job.
He went to UCLA. Everyone likes to live in Los Angeles. Yep. Now, the interesting thing is I don't know if LeBron is a plus or a minus for – I think that will be in the eye of the beholder. I mean,
it depends on who you talk to, right? For some people, it's a minus. For some people, it's a plus.
And that's interesting. I think Griff obviously got named Tim Connelly. I think Neil Olshey in Portland, the elephant in the room in the NBA right now is that no one knows what's going to happen with the Blazers' ownership.
Right. Goes for Dame Lillard this summer, too. Like, he's going to be eligible for the Supermax. Is like an, I don't want to say absentee, but is a unclear future in ownership going to be willing to pay him that?
Neil has ties to Los Angeles, used to run the Clippers.
Yep.
I think that's a name that makes sense. The RC, look.
Every good executive in the league should make sense. This is a job that has every, like I said, when I said they were a joke, I mean they're a joke today because of what happened yesterday, which was an embarrassment for the league that happened yesterday. And overshadow what happened with Dirk. It overshadowed what happened with Dwayne Wade. But the Laker job has everything you could want if you're a front office guy, right? And if you're an ambitious guy who wants to win at the highest level, the Lakers can do that. But to your point, the only way it's going to happen is if the organizational rot that exists is carved out and replaced by competency and trust at every level, which clearly right now, to your point, does not exist at all.
I have two more things to say about the Lakers, and then we're moving on.
All right.
Number one, 80% of Magic's explanation yesterday made no sense.
That might be low.
Tweeting? You got a tweet about Russell Westbrook and you can't tweet? It's Twitter.
Right.
Stop tweeting.
Right.
Who cares?
Right.
Number two, well, I would have had to remove someone's livelihood and I just couldn't bring myself to do that. My man, you run like billions of dollars worth of business. You never had to fire somebody. You never had to move someone's job description.
Well, and meanwhile, he made all these people's situations worse. I mean, he undermined Rob Pelinka. He undermined Luke Walton.
And my only
point
is,
what are you doing?
My only point is this idea that firing Luke Walton was just going to be too much for him.
Right.
It was just going to be too much. I don't believe that. And there was one other thing I was going to say about the Lakers, but I forgot what it was, and I don't care anymore. That time is up. Goodbye, Lakers.
We've talked enough about
that. We will see you next year. People! One of the most important things we do for our health every day is brushing our teeth, and most of us don't even do it properly. Quip is a better electric toothbrush created by dentists and designers to make sure you are doing it properly, and it's simple, affordable, and it makes brushing enjoyable. It has little sensitive sonic vibrations that are gentle enough on sensitive gums. Why? Because people brush too hard sometimes, or some electric toothbrushes are too abrasive. Not Quip! It is a built-in 2-minute timer with pulses every 30 seconds so that you switch sides and brush for the dentist recommended 2 minutes. If you actually sat here and counted 1 to 120, you'd realize 2 minutes can kind of feel like a long time. You might be shortchanging it. Up to 90% of us, in fact, don't brush for a full 2 minutes or don't clean evenly. We're lefty or righty heavy. That's why I love Clip and why they're backed by over 20,000 dental professionals. That is a lot of dental professionals. That's an NBA stadium. Arena of dental professionals. Quip starts at just $25. I always imagined a high-end electric toothbrush would be like triple digits at least. $25, that is, if you go to getquip.com/low, my last name of the name of this podcast, right now, and you get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/low. I revealed my awards ballot today on the .com. my individual awards ballot. So MVP, Coach of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Sixth Man, and Most Improved. That is all for public perusal. I am on this podcast in the next 40 minutes or so going to reveal the rest of my awards ballot. I will not write it because I am tired of writing.
Wow.
And it hurts my brain.
Not doing the second half of the column.
I am going to reveal it here. All
what
NBA,
a slacker move by Zach Lowe.
All NBA, all defense, and all rookie.
All right,
and
I'm excited.
I don't know your ballot, so
I don't know yours either. Let's do this.
Let's start with All NBA, which has obviously huge implications for players and teams.
Yes.
and contractual stuff. I'm going to say my first team.
I think the first two teams are very easy. We'll see.
We'll see. I'm going to say my first team.
Okay,
and then you'll respond. First team. There are three people who should be unanimous. Stephen Curry as a guard, James Harden as a guard, and Giannis Antetokounmpo as a forward.
We agree.
My second forward on the first team is Paul George.
Same as me.
And my center on the first team is Nikola Jokic.
I had Joel Embiid.
Okay, so we disagree right off the bat.
That, I guess. I mean, we're splitting hairs. I mean, look, I had Jokic actually. I won't say where I had Jokic yet, but I had Embiid on my first team. Maybe it's some bias for me because I'm out here in the East. I'm around Philly a lot. He stayed, for the most part, healthy up until the last couple weeks. I think he's been a dominant force for them. He's been on the court at both ends. Obviously, Jokic is not as great on defense. And, you know, given all the craziness in Philly, the amount of guys that have circled in and out around him, I think Embiid has been the one constant on that team from start to finish. So that was what kind of, in the end, gave him the edge for me.
That was the hard one. I'll tell you why it ended up not being all that hard for me. Number one, 300 minutes and 15 games.
Difference between two
or 13 games, yeah. whatever it is.
Which is fair.
Number two, I mean, Denver has a chance to be the number two seed in the West, in the real conference.
Right.
They have done that despite injuries to Gary Harris and Will Barton for about half the season and Paul Millsap for 15 or 20 games. Jamal Murray had, you know, a little run. He's settled into, like, he's not even in the discussion for a third-team All-NBA spot. It's not close.
No.
He is the only thing even close to an All-Star.
Yeah.
On a team that's going to win 55 games and, barring a disaster on the last night of the season, or 54 games, get the second seed.
Right.
Oh, a word on that, Tim Bontemps. A word on that. Mike Malone, I like you as a coach, like you as a guy, put you third on my Coach of the Year ballot. Step off the soapbox. When you say, how dare anybody suggest that we're losing games on purpose, this is a completely fabricated media narrative, blah, 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 blah. No, no, no. You are absolutely losing games on purpose.
He played the worst player in the NBA, Isaiah Thomas, 12 minutes in a row in the fourth quarter.
You're absolutely losing games on purpose. And the basketball gods, bizarrely,
somehow rewarded them.
Thanks to a Paul George three-pointer last night and a James Harden missed free throw. Are set.
And, by the way, and a Mo Harkless three-pointer at the buzzer also in LA.
Are set to have every domino fall into place exactly as they hoped it would be, which is Denver 2, Portland with a win tonight 3, Denver also has to win, Houston 4. So not only does Denver have to get to avoid Houston, they force Houston and Golden State into the Thunderdome in the second round.
And Houston has to play Utah in the first round. So I think those might be the three best teams in the West.
So this would, so first of all, 100% Denver tried to engineer that.
100%.
100%. For Mike Malone to come out and say, tisk tisk media is a joke.
Right.
Second of all, the basketball gods, I don't know if they're in one of their Dionysian orgies or something,
this
or
is
whatever.
Going in a weird direction.
Dionysius. I don't know what they're doing up on Mount Olympus or wherever they live, Mount Naismith, but they are not monitoring this. And when they find out what has taken place, there will be a cost to pay.
Well, maybe they'll be monitoring in the first round.
There will be a cost to pay.
I will say this: every team in the West has been hoping to play Denver in the first round for a month.
The basketball we'll gods are always watching. Now, as for Jokic over Embiid, I think the games played and all that I mentioned, I think the gap between them on offense is maybe larger than most people would
think. It's also fair.
Embiid is shooting 48% overall, and Jokic is shooting
52, 51%
in a down year from three. And just the assist to turnover ratio, 578 assists to 244 turnovers for Jokic, seven assists a game to essentially flat 1-1 for Embiid. I just think he's a better offensive player with a supporting cast that has been injury riddled compared to the Sixers, who keep bringing in stars who also are getting hurt. To me, it was a hard choice, but I want Jokic.
Yeah, totally fair.
Give me your second. So give me your second team. Second team All NBA. Go Tim Bontemps.
Dame Lillard.
Okay.
Kyrie Irving. Kawhi Leonard. Kevin Durant. Rudy Gobert.
Disrespectful to Jokic. We have the same team.
Other than
I have Embiid second team.
Yeah. So do you want to just skip to the third team where the real drama is?
I want to address one thing.
Sure. Do you want to explain my Gobert pick, I guess, probably?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay.
You had KD and Kawhi as the forwards, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we're set there.
Yeah. Have you said your... Oh, you said we had the same other than
I have Kyrie, Damian Lillard, right. Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, and
right.
Joel Embiid.
And Embiid, right. Okay.
Kyrie is an interesting choice in this regard. Statistically, there is no argument. He deserves second team all the
time. For sure. And as someone who's seen him play a lot this year, he's played at a higher level than I've ever seen him play.
There will be voters, and I know some of them, who are going to leave him off second team because of the drama he has created within Boston's locker
room. There's some people who are going to leave him off third team, I think, for that. Or at least talk about it.
They've discussed it. And I actually respect that. I understand that. I factor that stuff in. I think it's important to think about. Anthony Davis is not going to make anybody's All-NBA team. Now, that's an extreme example.
Right.
Jimmy Butler is not going to make it. He doesn't deserve it anyway.
Right.
But those are extreme examples.
It's definitely a factor for people.
But I think it's a factor. But to me, Kyrie has outplayed all these other guards so dramatically. And here's just one stat. The last three – we know their offense is dead without him, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
The shooting numbers, you can write them off.
Sure.
The last 3 minutes of games when the score is within 3 points – Kyrie is 29 of 49 from the floor.
Yep.
59%.
And
plus 46 in 50 minutes.
And the thing that makes that even more impressive as somebody who sees them a lot is they don't really have another option. Like in the last 2 minutes of games, it's basically we give Kyrie the ball. Not that they don't have other options, but their offense is essentially give Kyrie the ball and get out of the way and let Kyrie make plays, right? And so to your point, if you're going to be 29 for 49 in that situation when everybody knows it's coming on top of it, I mean, it's been incredibly impressive. And, you know, to your point, I think Kyrie on his play definitely deserves second team. And while the third team guards are probably the hardest All-NBA choice I've ever had, which we'll get to in a minute, I think he is clearly with Lillard on the second team line.
Yeah, he's the fourth guard. Like Lillard's above him,
right?
For all the culture setting reasons that are being alluded to. If you wanted to put him third team, I think he has done damage inside that locker room or his free. It's hard to separate sometimes a player and a player's situation. So like, would his free agency have inevitably caused? Like, has Kevin?
There's also just a lot of things in the Celtics locker room that are weird too.
Has Kevin Durant done damage to the Warriors just by being a non-committal free agent? Well,
right.
I mean, that's not fair.
Right.
It's not fair. Now,
right.
Kyrie's had other stuff happen. I'm going to give you my third team.
Yeah.
Third team All NBA, which is the toughest part of the ballot. My guards are Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal.
Okay.
My forwards
are
LeBron James and Blake Griffin.
Okay.
And my center is Rudy Gobert.
Okay.
So let me walk backwards.
Okay.
And just explain the reasoning. I had Kat as the third team center until about 2 weeks ago. And
so I didn't really consider him.
And Gobert has just been so sensational on both ends of the floor. He was my choice for defensive player of the year. And offensively, he's been very, very good. It's not like he's averaging 10 points a game. He's up at 16, 17, whatever he's at. Kat is on another level offensively. On another level.
Right.
He's on another planet.
Yep.
I do think there is... It's just Minnesota has not played a meaningful basketball game in a long, long time.
Yep.
Utah is playing meaningful, real, stressful basketball games. And so for me, that was enough. That plus the defense was enough to overcome what I think is a gargantuan gap on offense, even as good as Gobert is, between Gobert and Towns. So I put Gobert. Now, the flip side of that, because that's essentially I chose the winning guy, right?
Okay.
The flip side of that is, why do you have Beal and why do you have LeBron? If I can preemptively defend myself.
Go for it.
I mean,
I have Beal too, so.
Essentially, the reasoning is because I couldn't find anybody as good as Gobert. I couldn't find any quote-unquote guy on a winning team that had such a tremendous case that was a player of the year in one of the categories.
Right.
So LeBron, people are going to leave LeBron off. It's fine. 55 games on a losing team, there's very little precedent for such a player making an All-NBA team. There's very little precedent for LeBron James. There's very little precedent for 28-8-8. And before he was injured, that team was going to be fine. To me,
I am still skeptical about that, but that's another story.
That's enough. I just couldn't find another forward. Now you did, so I think so. We'll get to it.
Maybe.
And Beal, look, here are the names that are there. Kemba Walker, losing team. Shooting stats not even close.
Right.
Beal is putting up 26-6-5
right.
at 55% shooting from two.
Beal separated himself out as the clear fifth guy for me, but I'll get to that in a minute.
Your winning guy is Klay, who just started so slowly, and I love Klay. He just doesn't have to do the lift these other guys have to do, and the advanced stats, it's not close. The surging winning team guy is Donovan Mitchell.
Who's on my consideration list. I had eight guys that considered. He's on the list.
Very strong consideration. I'm just going through like the winning guys, the guys who, if you were going to use winning, those are your guys. I just think Bradley Beal's been demonstrably better than Donovan Mitchell, and he is playing winning basketball for the Wizards. The team stinks. He, with the exception of his defense, which is not good, Mitchell's a better defender. I just think offensively he's been better than Mitchell from start to finish, and so I would lean there. To me, this is always,
and this is a little bit of a preview. To me, it's about most outstanding guy for me, all NBA. I think, like to your point about Bradley Beal, right? Like team situation, I think it kind of is removed because there's only so much Bradley Beal can do, right? I mean, the Wizards are a dumpster fire. It's hard to blame him for all of the other stuff that's gone on with that team over the course of 82 games. When he's played, the other thing too with him, which I think matters, he's played every
82.
Game. That's
he's
a big
hard.
Deal.
He's playing hard. So give me without further ado, give me your third team All-NBA.
Okay, so I had eight. Let me just the two guys I had for sure was I had Jokic third team center. The three centers were all very close. I ended up just picking Gobert over him because his defense has been incredible. To your point, and I had Blake. I think is a clear forward. Blake, I think, has been awesome this year. He's carried the Pistons. They're probably going to make the playoffs.
An addendum, by the way, is that the league did make Cat eligible at forward. I just thought that was
weird. There was no way I was going to put him as a forward. So that left three spots.
Yes.
I'll get to the forward spot.
Two guards and one forward.
So the two guard spots, I considered eight guys. Westbrook, Beal, Kemba, Klay, Kyle Lowry, Mitchell, Mike Conley, and Drew Holiday.
All guys I've stumped for here.
I thought about all of them. To your point, I had Beal as the fifth guy. Mm-hmm. I think he's just been so good, and he's been a rock for that team all year. He's been awesome. Their team has been a mess. You know, John goes out. He's basically playing half point guard now. He's like you said, he's averaging a ton of assists. He's been great.
His shooting is really what has differentiated him for me from a lot of these candidates. His true shooting percentage.
Shooting 48% from the field as a two guard is really good.
55% on twos. Like, none of these guys are sniffing that.
No. So he was my fifth guy. Now, the sixth spot, I did not have Russ, and there's two reasons I didn't have Russ.
One is you're a hater. What's the second?
One is I'm a hater. He is shooting 42% from the field and 29% from three.
That's correct. 48 from two the last time I checked. 48.
Yeah. And the single biggest reason is right here. When he's on the court with Paul George, the Thunder are a +9. When he's on the court without Paul George, they're a -8.
Yes, it's bad.
And when Paul George is on the court without Russell Westbrook, they're still +6. And their defense is the best defense in the league. So 97 defensive rate.
So who did you pick?
So I went through a ton of guys. I ended up picking Klay.
Okay.
He's been unbelievable since January 1st.
Absolutely.
And I also had him on an all-defensive team. And at the end of the day, Nate Duncan, other people said this, I think he's the guy who you can plug on the most teams in the league, and he could fit in. He's just got the perfect skill set to play anywhere. He plays hard every game. He shows up every game. And I just thought that at the end of the day, when I was trying to choose between all these different guys, I kind of just defaulted to him. But you can make a case for literally all those guys, and I can't argue with it.
Drum roll. So I've defended the Russ choice already. I don't need to do it again.
And it's defendible.
And it's not something I feel particularly strongly about.
It's defendable.
I don't feel strongly about any of these guys. I just chose Russ and Beal. Those are my choices.
Right.
Live with them. Drum roll, who is your other forward?
So I'm still trying to decide, honestly.
But you don't want to put LeBron on, huh?
Well, I have a couple. Dan Devine wrote this the other day. Other people have said it. You win 55 games. You play 55 games on a losing team. LeBron didn't play any defense all year. Some of the defensive highlights were laughable, right? He's unbelievable offensively. I still will probably pick him, but I'm thinking long and hard about putting Pascal Siakam on ahead of
him.
Yes! Siakam has been incredible for the Raptors this year. Kyle Lowry and Kawhi Leonard have combined to miss almost 40 games, and the Raptors are going to win 58 games. And Siakam is a monster on defense. He's gotten infinitely better on offense. I mean, I'm speaking to one of the leaders of the Pascal Siakam fan club.
Yeah, you don't got to convince. So this is a Pascal. This is a Pascal safe zone here.
I'm honestly still not sure which way I'll go. I probably will end up going with LeBron, but I'm going to think about it for the next 24 hours because Siakam has been so good that I might put him there instead.
I love Pascal Siakam. The fact that you have landed upon Pascal Siakam is the reason I am putting LeBron.
And that's the other reason why I probably will too, because there just isn't, unlike the guards where you can look at like eight guys, the forward line after LeBron is weak.
I actually think the guy I would look at before Pascal is Danilo Gallinari. You know, I've seen LaMarcus Aldridge. LaMarcus Aldridge is a center. He's played center for 90% of his minutes.
Right.
It's
not really different than Towns.
And he hasn't been so outstanding that I would manipulate the position.
I thought about rewarding him for being just the rock for that Spurs team and getting them back in the playoffs again.
Hasn't been good enough. I have to look myself in the mirror every day when I wake up. And if I picked LaMarcus Aldridge over LeBron James for an All-NBA team.
And I think in the end, I'm going to pick LeBron for the same reason. Like, his numbers are so good. And Pascal, you know, he's gotten better every month. He probably still is a year away. I think he'll be an All-NBA player next year, frankly. I feel comfortable saying that now. Or at least he'll be in the conversation again. But I am probably going to go with LeBron, but it's close. Pascal's really, really good.
So the other forwards are just nobody. There's Ben Simmons, who's eligible at guard and forward. Luka fell off
the
cliff.
In the mix.
AD's been disqualified informally.
There's nobody else. We don't even need to run through them.
And centers, there's just no those guys plus Cat. You know, then it's your Vucevic's, your Drummonds, and those guys. Nurkic, I thought, had a great season. Adams, Capella, blah, blah.
They're not in the same ballpark. They just aren't as good. Right.
The only real change I made between a month ago when I started looking at this and today was I flip-flopped Jokic and Embiid, first and second team, and putting Gobert over Towns.
Yeah.
Listeners, hiring, I can imagine, is one of those things that can be challenging and time-consuming. There are hundreds of job boards. Do you have to post your ad on every one? How do you know that you're not missing the one job board that has the right person? But there's one place where you can go that makes it simple, fast, and smart, and that place is ZipRecruiter.com/LowPost, the name of this podcast. ZipRecruiter sends your job automatically to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, and they don't even stop there. They have powerful matching technology that scans thousands of resumes and proactively finds people with the right experience and then double proactively invites them to apply to your job. You've done nothing except use ZipRecruiter. Bam, they've found people for you. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers, that's a lot. If you shoot 80% from the foul line, that's pretty good. 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. You pretty much can't do any better than that. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free, zero, nothing at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/LowPost. The name of this podcast, LOWEPOST, that's ZipRecruiter.com/LowPost. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Okay, let's move to all defense.
Okay.
All defensive teams, there are only two of them, and they are done by position.
Right.
I will do my first team.
Okay.
And you will tell me why I'm right or wrong.
Okay, sounds good.
My first team guards are Eric Bledsoe and Marcus Smart.
Okay.
My first team forwards are Giannis Antetokounmpo and Paul George. Okay. And my center is Rudy Gobert, who is also my defensive player of the year. To me, the guards are the interesting choices. The forwards are all just those are the
guys. Had four of the same five. The one difference was I had Drew Holiday instead of Bledsoe. I had Bledsoe on my second team. And that was more just Drew has been awesome for the Pelicans, and their team has been a train wreck. And I decided to give him the nod there. But Bledsoe's been great, and I thought long and hard about that one too. That would have been a good way to go.
So that leads me to what I'm going to something I'm not thrilled about. And let me just bring up my email that I sent the league office last night.
Oh no. Is this a positional thing?
Yes. So
I'll hear from Tim Frank at the game tonight, I'm sure.
So you have to pick four guards, right?
Right.
Because there are two teams.
Okay.
Pick four guards. So okay. Smart and Bledsoe are my first team guards.
Okay.
I have Drew Holiday as a second team guard.
Okay. Is there an issue with that?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I just don't feel passionately about a fourth guard. I feel passionately about a lot of forwards that will not make the team.
Okay.
So my first team forwards on all defense are Giannis and Paul George.
Right.
My second team forwards are Draymond Green.
Okay.
And I'm rewarding PJ Tucker over Kawhi Leonard, over Pascal Siakam, over Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons.
Siakam and Paul Millsap. But I like Tucker's a good choice too.
I'm putting Draymond, who I still think when he cares, and he's cared, I think, more than people have given him credit.
Yeah, he's also just been banged up. I
think he's the best. I still think he can be the best defender in the league when he cares.
Yeah,
they've been very good with him on the floor.
No argument.
My point is this. So I'm leaving all these forwards who I think are really good off.
Right.
Kawhi's not making my team.
I think that's okay.
Pascal.
I have Pascal ahead of Kawhi.
Ben Simmons, Al-Farouq Aminu, Paul Millsap.
Sure.
A lot of guys. A lot of guys.
Right.
What I wish I could do is make Paul George a guard.
Right.
And then shift him from forward to guard and open up another forward spot.
Sure.
And close that fourth guard spot. So guess what? Ben Simmons is eligible on all defense.
We're spending too much time.
because this makes me angry. Ben Simmons is eligible at guard and forward.
Yeah.
Robert Covington
is
eligible
fine.
At guard
that's
and forward.
Fine. You could have just said Paul George should be a guard.
Jimmy Butler is eligible at guard and forward. What is the argument that Paul George
is
just a forward?
There is no argument.
George's job is to defend the best wing player on the other team, whether it's a guard or a forward.
He should be on there.
So I'm playing with these freaking drop-down menus.
He should be on there as a guard.
And you type GE. You want to know what comes up when you type GE in the guard slot? Langston Galloway.
That's not great.
And then after that, I dropped my notebook. I'm so mad. After that, it's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So I don't know who my second guard is. So give me your four guards.
I had Clay as second guard.
So I don't feel. I just think Clay's very good. I don't.
I would endorse your plan because I would put Draymond in as a forward.
So this is my plan. That's my plan.
But if under the current rules.
Maybe I should accidentally vote for Langston Galloway as a protest vote.
Maybe you should. Under the current rules, I have Clay. But if your plan succeeds, I would bump Drew Holiday to second team, and I would have Bledsoe and Holiday on second team.
Maybe I'll just reward Clay because I don't feel that strongly about anyone else. Like Patrick Beverley's on my list. I don't feel that strongly. Lonzo didn't play that much. I don't feel that strongly. Derek White. Danny Green has made my team.
Derek White is a good choice.
Derek White's really good. Danny Green, I think, has made my team three years in a row.
Thought about Danny Green, too.
I think he's lost a little bit of a step. I think he's very good. Nothing about him says I must have him as one of the essentially 10 best defenders in the NBA.
And meanwhile, part of the reason why I have Toronto going to the NBA Finals is because they can roll out Danny Green, Pascal Siakam, and Kawhi Leonard. Which is terrifying.
It is interesting. It feels like they deserve an all-defensive player, and I just can't figure out. I think Siakam has actually been their best defender.
That's why I picked him.
All season. I just don't think he's quite as good as those other guys. I think Lowry is still outstanding.
He's just missed a bunch of games.
And more frequently than in the past, they put him off the ball and let him relax a little bit. So I don't feel.
But again, you roll those four guys out there in the playoffs, you can guard any team.
Absolutely. So I'm undecided actually on my second guard. And until I hear from the league, I'm going to hold out hope that my Paul George plan is passed. I assume my emails get forwarded immediately to Adam Silver.
I'm sure they do.
And I'm
sure he's listening to this podcast too. So maybe he'll call you and say, you got to change it.
Give me your full second team all defense.
All right. First team, Smart, Holiday, Giannis, George, Gobert.
Sure.
Second team, Bledsoe, Clay, Siakam, Millsap, and Bede.
So we right now only have, we essentially have two in common because we just flip-flop. So I have Drew Holiday, blank, Draymond Green, PJ Tucker, and Joel Embiid is my second team. A major apologies to Miles Turner, who leads the league in blocks and I think is maybe the fifth or sixth best defender in the league. And Indiana, their team and their fans are going to be outraged when he doesn't make an all-defensive team. My hands are tied. He's not one of the two best centers in the league on defense.
Right.
I think that all defense more than anything else should be positionless.
Yeah.
There should be no positions because for many reasons, the most fundamental of which is center is the most important defensive position, and they get 2/10 of this ballot.
Right.
one, otherwise known as when you.
I'd actually rather. I would rather just have defensive player of the year have five spots and then this be the same.
That's fine. So I'm willing to listen to Clay as my second guard or Derek White or Danny Green.
Well, there you go.
Josh Richardson's on my list. I don't think he's been that great. Like, great. They've all been good.
Right.
I just am having trouble finding.
Yeah. That's why I settled on Clay in the end.
I'm going to make a prediction. Are you ready for my prediction?
Okay.
I'm going to predict without looking.
Okay.
That we have the same first and second team all rookies.
Ooh.
I'm going to predict we are 10 for 10.
All right, go.
And that they are.
Maybe I'll change my picks if they're wrong and I'll just let you be right.
And not only that, that we have the same first team and second team.
All right,
team.
Well, let's see. Run through them.
Well, give me your first team.
Okay. Luka Doncic, Trae Young, DeAndre Ayton, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Mitchell Robinson.
My prediction is incorrect.
Oh, okay.
My first team is, Luka, Trae, Ayton, Jaren Jackson Jr. My fifth is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I went back and forth on him and Robinson. I went with Robinson in the end.
I have no problem with that. On a permanent basis, Mitchell Robinson has been a first team all rookie level player.
Right. I know he hasn't played a ton of minutes.
Right. So and to me, Shai, the minutes difference and the fact that he's doing this as a starter on a winning team. And
he's been really good.
And has surged. I think he's like shooting 38% from three now. Like, he's had a really strong finishing kick. He's already a good defensive player.
He's been really, really good.
That was enough to get that spot over. To me, it came down. I didn't really consider. I love Robinson. He was an absolute lock for an all-rookie spot. I didn't really consider him because I just thought Shai and Bagley.
I went back and forth between all three of them on the plane this morning.
Have
and
done
went
enough.
With Robinson.
Have done enough. I don't think any of those choices need justification. Perhaps
It's the fifth first team all rookie spot.
Right. And perhaps one of the only, people have already forgotten about Jaren Jackson Jr. I put him third on my rookie of the year ballot.
If he'd played a few more games, I definitely would have had him third.
I think if he had played a full season, I would have had him second.
Possible. He was really, really good.
He's really
this
good.
This rookie class is loaded. Like, usually it's hard to come up with five guys and the second team is a train wreck. I actually came up with three teams.
No, I have
okay
snubs.
Yeah.
I have snubs.
I literally have a whole third team.
I never have snubs on all rookie.
I was going through it today. Like, this rookie class is really good.
Okay, so give me your second team all rookie, and now I bet we're gonna have the same 10 guys, but we've just flip flopped. But
maybe I'll be wrong again. Marvin Bagley, Colin Sexton, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Kevin Herter, and Landry Shamet.
We do not.
I have the wrong picks.
My second team is Marvin Bagley, who I considered strongly for a first team.
And Shai.
Colin Sexton, who I gave a look for first team, but doesn't deserve it.
Right.
Landry Shamet.
Right.
Because he's shooting 40% from three and has been starting on a winning team and a key bench player on another winning team.
Right.
Mitchell Robinson and Phoenix Bridges, Mikal Bridges.
I thought about him, too.
Mikal Bridges is a candidacy that made me a little bit uncomfortable.
Pelton. You put Mikal Bridges on your team.
Yes. But for Pelton, in emailing with me, said, why not first team Mikal Bridges? Because his advanced metrics are
really good.
Off the charts.
Really good.
And I understand why. He's a long-armed, good defender who shoots threes decently well, and those players always grade out well.
Yep.
He also, like, regularly takes four shots and has the usage rate almost like of me, and I'm not an NBA player.
Right.
And if I were, I assure you I would have a higher usage rate until my coach took me out.
Right.
So I just think sometimes those advanced numbers, there's like sort of a bystander effect that goes too far in a positive direction when you're too much of a bystander.
Right.
And I think that happened with him. But if you're asking me to compare him to Herter or Harry Giles or the other Bridges or Okogie, or Alonzo Trier, all guys I considered, those are enough to get a second team all rookie spot, which is like, you know, it's like a participation ribbon, basically.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a
deal. And ultimately, I just think Herter long term is going to be the better player. And
I got Herter's on my list. He's on my snubs list.
And Bridges was on mine. So at the end, at the end of the day, I picked him. But again, like, I have another five or six guys I could have named. This rookie class is actually deep.
Can I tell you the snub that I actually felt most bad about?
Which was?
Not Kevin Herter.
Which was?
Jalen Brunson.
I had Jalen Brunson on my list too. Not like on the.
No one has noticed because he started playing more when Dallas started.
He's been really good.
You watch these guys. Some of them are numbers good, and some of them are
basketball
this guy is playing real basketball in games that are close or in a style that was
a lot like Fred VanVleet, guy who just knows how to play, walked in, immediately can contribute.
And so he was my most painful snub amongst the other guys that I mentioned before. And you know, credit to the Knicks. Robinson's going to be good. Trier's all right. Knox is somehow their third best rookie. I bet Knox gets a lot of second team votes just because of points per game.
Right. He might get first team votes for that.
He will not deserve them. He was very bad this season.
Not great.
But also, as I said last week, not in a way that has me particularly worried. So those are my all-NBA, all-defense. I guess I have one TBD all-defense spot. And until I hear from...
Until you hear from the league.
The commissioner himself.
There you go.
I have till Friday, but that is my ballot. I am not going to change my mind.
There you go.
Let's spend 5 minutes on the actual real bet, the other ballot.
Okay.
Give me what was, because we don't have much time. Give me what was your hardest single decision of the six individual awards. Not necessarily who won it, but maybe there was a ballot spot that drove you crazy. Maybe there was, what was the one where you just were pulling your hair out?
I'm trying to think. I'd Giannis for MVP. I thought that was pretty straightforward. James Harden's had an unbelievable season. I think Giannis is becoming the best player in the league, and I think he's a dominant two-way player, and so that was pretty easy. Same with Gobert at Defensive Player of the Year, best defensive player in the league.
I felt good about that. I'm not going to belabor this because I wrote the big column about it, but I felt that was my most difficult choice going in. And by the end, I felt very good about it.
And I had Giannis second, too. Giannis is incredible. Just Gobert is such a force. I mean, you wrote enough about it. I don't want to go through it. But he's been the best player. Again, there's been a lot of talk about Trey pushing Luka for Rookie of the Year. I don't really believe that. Trey's been awesome. I think Luka's the clear Rookie of the Year. I had Trey second. I had Ayton third. That was pretty simple. Sixth man, I'm just scrolling through these. Sixth man, Lou Williams. I thought about other guys, but he's averaging 20 points in 26 minutes. It's unbelievable.
He's more efficient than last season, which did not seem like a possible
goal. I know. It's crazy. I'm going back and forth between Andre Iguodala and Gordon Hayward, actually, for my third six-man spot. I'm probably going to go with Iguodala, even though he hasn't played a ton of minutes. He's actually been really good this year. The last couple of years, he's coasted a bit in the regular season. I think this year he's been very good. That's a key thing for me to watch in the playoffs. If he's healthy and good, it's going to be very, very hard for them to lose. Most improved is always an impossible award. I think you agree with that because the criteria is kind of amorphous. I don't put second year players on it. I know our buddy Kirk Goldsberry got mad at me the other day, for that, but I expect those guys to take a jump. So that was pretty tough. I think Pascal Siakam's a runaway winner. The second and third spots were tough. I ended up going with Giannis and Nikola Vucevic. Because Vucevic has made such a jump, and I think Giannis has made a huge jump too.
All good candidates. I thought hard about Vuce. He did not end up making my ballot.
And then Coach of the Year, I thought was the most impossible because I think you could literally name 8 or 9 or 10 guys mm-hmm. who deserve spots. I actually went with Dave Yeager first because I honestly thought the Kings might win 10 or 12 games this year, and they may win 40, and I just think it's remarkable the way that he's been able to get that team to play. Then I had Doc second and Bud third, but you could have Steve Clifford, you could have Terry Stotts, you'd have Pop, Kenny Atkinson.
Yeah, I went Bud one, Doc two. Those two to me were the standout. Well, not standout, but the ones that just sort of fit.
Yeah, which you can't argue with either. I mean, there's like all these guys. Like, there's been a ton of really good coaching jobs this year.
My last spot, so I had a bunch of guys I considered, but then I had four I really considered for that last spot. I ended up giving it to Mike Malone, but the other guys were named.
And he was on my list, too, as a guy to consider. Like, it's been a really good year for that. A lot of these teams are really maximizing what they have.
The other guys were Nate McMillan, Kenny Atkinson, and Dave Yeager. And I just, you know, just the West is harder than the East. That's so
it's very true.
That, in some respects,
at least outside the top four,
that played into my thinking. I will say the most improved player thing, I've come back a little bit on the not voting for second or third year players or whatever. I've come back to not really caring about that because a lot of people who are like, well, I don't vote for second year players. The most common winner is like a third year player.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, is it really that big a difference between second and third year? Like, you're not going to vote for a second year guy, but a third year guy is like a no brainer. I don't, and I had De'Aaron Fox third place in most improved as a second year lottery pick,
which is also totally reasonable.
But it's what some voters don't do, and to me, that just comes down to watching the game. So this is not like John Collins made a big statistical leap this year,
right?
From year one to year two,
right?
And he's not exactly the same player he was last year. Like, a lot of his threes are above the break threes, whereas almost all of them were corner threes.
Right.
But really, he's a better version of the same player.
Yep.
De'Aaron Fox went from, at the hardest position to play,
yep,
went from, it's unclear to me if he has any idea what he's doing, to, this guy is thinking three steps ahead and manipulating the defense. He did in 1 year what it takes a lot of point guards 6 years to do.
No question.
So I considered him for the number one spot, and if he won, I wouldn't, even over Pascal, who I voted for, I wouldn't have any major objections.
Because he's been great.
That's the second-year prototype guy I would vote for, the guy who makes that kind of leap at that position.
And even with my qualifier, I think if you put De'Aaron on your ballot, I mean, he's been awesome. I mean, look, I did a poll a month ago of kind of the four super sophomores, right? Ben Simmons, Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, and De'Aaron Fox. The beginning of the year, when I thought of that idea, I was only going to have the three guys who topped the column last year, or topped the balloting last year, right? Tatum, Mitchell, and Simmons. But De'Aaron was so good that by the time I did the poll of people around the league, I had to include him because he's been that good. And there were a lot of people who argued he might end up being the best of them. And if you'd said that this time a year ago, people were like, well, that's crazy. You know, so it's a credit to the leap he's made. And when you talk about the job Jaeger's done, I mean, just as much of a reason why the Kings are competent and good this year is because De'Aaron Fox has been really, really good.
Listeners, you know that getting tickets to sporting events for friends and visitors used to stress me out. There were too many sites to check on the secondary market. Am I getting a good deal? Am I getting the best deal I can get? What if there's a better seat and I just forgot? Well, guess what? SeatGeek has solved all of those problems for you. It pulls millions of tickets into one place. Only have to visit SeatGeek and that's it. And you can easily find the best seat you want for the price you're willing to pay. They have a super easy to use color-coded system. Green dots for good deals, red dots for less good deals. It's very interactive and easy to see where your seat is, whether it's obstructed, unobstructed, all of that. And best of all, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. SeatGeek should be your go-to ticket source for everything: sports, concerts, Broadway shows, theater, comedy, all of it. Best of all, my listeners get $10 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app. Enter promo code LOW, L-O-W-E, my last name, the name of this podcast. That's promo code LOW. Bam, $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event, and we have the tickets.
What is your full five-man MVP ballot?
Let's scroll. Giannis, James Harden, Paul George, Dame Lillard, and Nikola Jokic.
So we have almost exactly the same, except I have Jokic fourth and Lillard fifth.
Which, again, is totally fair. I just gave Dame a little bit of an edge because I think their team is more limited, and he's just carried them. But, you know, Jokic has been great.
There have not been five more valuable players than Damian Lillard. There just haven't been. He needs to be on the ballot. It felt bad to me to leave off both the Warriors candidates. They are the best team in the league, if not the best record. They're the second best record. We're tied, I guess, Toronto.
Yep.
It's hard to take one of those guys off given what they...
If Steph had played an extra 10 games, I think he would have made it.
He's a better candidate to me than Durant, even though Durant has played. So, I mean, but when you just look at those last three guys, what they mean to their teams, and this is where, again, there's no exact way to do this, because rewarding a guy on a flawed team means punishing guys on a good team. However, the Warriors are so good, and these three other teams are so that I think the equation works right in this sense. Like, the Thunder without Paul George are a disaster.
Right.
The Nuggets without Nikola Jokic are not going anywhere. And the Blazers without Lillard are, I mean, the Thunder without George, I think his net rating, so the difference between...
Well, like I said, look at what the numbers are with Russell Westbrook on the court without him.
I think when he's on and off, it's plus 17
right.
difference, which is like number two or three in the league. And Lillard, by the end of the year, with Nurkic going down and CJ going down, was plus 16, one of the five or six biggest numbers in the league. To me, they all belong on the ballot ahead of the Warriors guys. To me, now, it's all splitting hairs. If you want KD and Steph on there, if you want both of them, I'm not really going to argue that strenuously with you, but that's
just
not where I ended up.
Right. At the end of the day, we're arguing. You can construct an argument for any of these guys you want. It's just what you decide you're going to do in the end, right? There's no wrong answers.
There are eight candidates for the five ballot spots.
Plus
seven
Embiid,
we've
right?
named in Joel Embiid.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's it.
Right.
I don't think anyone else really deserves any attention here. And and to me, Embiid is a little notch below for the reasons that we talked about earlier.
Yep.
And that ends the awards discussion. Tonight there are I don't know how many games, and I believe we are entering the last day of the regular season with only one playoff series set in stone. Is that correct? Boston, Indiana.
The one I'll be at.
I believe
is Celtics Pacers. Get excited.
Is the only one. Is that going to be the that can't be the NBA TV series because of Boston?
No. The NBA TV series will be Toronto and either Brooklyn or Orlando is my prediction.
I really again I think it's important that we respect playoff traditions. And one
Toronto
of those,
at noon.
One of those playoff traditions.
I've covered multiple Toronto noon playoff games
NBA
on Saturday.
TV Toronto. So all the spooky Mulder Toronto fans.
Yes, they get very upset.
The league is against us again. The league gave us All-Star a couple years ago. It's all part of the grand conspiracy.
And
to
by
be
the way,
Toronto.
I hope we get Toronto Orlando, and that's the NBA TV series, because I think Philly Brooklyn has a chance to be a sneaky, interesting first round series. That's a bad matchup for Philly.
See, I was texting some Nets guys about this, about who they could play, and we were going back and forth about it. And I agree that if you asked me, who would you rather play as an underdog, Toronto or Philly? I would rather play Philly just for the simple reason of they've had less time to figure out their team. And we saw what happened to Ben Simmons in the playoffs against an elite defense last year, blah, blah, blah. My worry about Brooklyn in that series is Philly is really tough to beat when Joel Embiid can just absolutely put your center in
the basket.
He can put Jared Allen in the basket.
Correct. Listen, I'm not saying they're going to beat the Sixers, right? But it's like, that has a chance to be an interesting series, where I don't think Philly-Orlando is an interesting series because the Nets have guards who can attack Philly, which is their one major weakness when they're starting lives on the court.
Yes.
And Orlando really does not.
D'Angelo Russell would get all the mid-range jumpers he wants.
And Dinwiddie's played well against them. They could create buckets, whereas Orlando can't.
Their guards would have a good series. Philly becomes vulnerable when you have a guy who could physically handle Simmons and take away his 12 transition points or the 12 transition
points. Which is why Toronto putting Kawhi on him. That's a nightmare for Philly in the second
If you
round.
Have that and you have someone, you're not going to stop Embiid. Embiid's
which is why Toronto getting Marc Gasol was also big because that was the one issue they had.
You just need to either not let him put you in the basket and not let him get 20 free throws.
Yep.
If you can do those things and contain Simmons, obviously Philly's in a lot of trouble. But the playoffs are almost here. They are here on Saturday. And Tim Bontemps, thanks for coming here with your ballot and everything else. And
sure, pal.
Enjoy the last day of the season and enjoy your continued vagabond existence up and down the Amtrak corridor.
That's my deal, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, sir.
The Low Post is presented by Goodyear. Discover the possibilities. Goodyear, more driven.